We're live at Giving Hearts Day. Big night tonight. Governor Armstrong, First Lady Kirstie, you're here. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
So fun. Thanks for being here, Kelly.
Yeah, what a lot of fun this place is. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. We're going to probably crack $30 million tonight. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of giving that goes on. 18 years for this event. There went over $200 million already. Last year's total is $28 million. They're going to crack that by midnight. This is fun.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, it's everywhere. Everybody's wearing red in the Capitol today. Everybody's excited. In the middle of all of this, it's just fun to have a day where everybody's super excited to give back to their community.
Kirstie, any favorites in the 625 charities out there? Any causes that are near and dear to you?
It's like picking a favorite child. I love so many of them, but there's Heaven's Helpers, Soup Kitchen in Bismarck is great. Domestic Violence Shelter is great. I mean, they all are. Prairie Public, fantastic. So,
are you enjoying being First Lady?
I am. It's a hectic schedule, but I'm enjoying it. It's great.
Kind of nice to have the hubby home, huh?
It's really nice to have him home. He actually comes home for dinner and kids' activities, so...
Yeah, you were telling me, actually, you get to more of those games now, right?
Yeah, a lot more, and I'm actually reading at night instead of running around and trying to figure out what's the next crisis in D.C. that we have to deal with.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. We seem to have had a bit of a change there with the new administration, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been texting with a lot of my friends, and they're really excited, and of course, there's plenty of people twirled up about it, but disruption doesn't come without breaking things once in a while, and I think some things in D.C. needed to be broken.
Some of your former Democratic colleagues seem to be in a bit of a meltdown over what they call a constitutional crisis. As a good attorney, what would you say about that?
Well, I served with some of my Democratic colleagues for 6 years on judiciary and oversight. They thought every Wednesday was a constitutional crisis. So I think it's okay. We're going to be fine. And, the premise that Washington worked perfectly fine 6 months ago is not a premise I subscribe to. So I'm glad they're trying to shake some things up.
We talked to the previous holder of your current seat, Secretary Burgum, this morning, and sounds like they're not wasting time on permitting reform and really getting things moving. What are you most excited about as far as quick action you'll see from this group?
Well, I think particularly with Interior in North Dakota, I think that's a fantastic place. And I just think having Julie in the House, obviously Senator Hovind, Senator Kramer, and then Governor Burgum going to be Secretary, and my understanding of how D.C. works coming back to governor, I just think we have a real opportunity to do some things and do them really quickly.
That's cool. Kirstie, talk a little bit about this new role as First Lady for you and what you're most excited to do and what causes you're going to champion. Tell us a little bit about your plans.
Yeah, it's going to be mental health focused. It's not quite defined yet, but we're finding our groove and get to see lots of North Dakotans every day, which we're really enjoying.
That's great. I know that's a cause near and dear to you. You elevated the recovery position to a cabinet level. What do you want to see happen in this regard?
Well, I think one of the things we have to deal with, both with addiction and mental health, is just recognize that in a lot of places in North Dakota, we're never going to have a full-scale clinic. We're not going to have that kind of operation. So how we deliver those services with the services we have. It's easier in addiction. You can do peer-to-peer counseling. Mental health is a little tougher, so you got to deal with telehealth, have to make sure that it's available. But you know, I was just meeting with some kids from Watford City High School today in the governor's office, and they started basically peer-to-peer counseling in a group that allows them to talk about mental health. And just the fact that 17 and 18-year-old kids are recognizing it is going to be really, really helpful all the way around.
That's really cool. There's a debate now about whether we need a new hospital in Jamestown, and I know, obviously, it's part of the mental health discussion as well. Is that an old model, or do we need a new facility, or should we be doing that a little differently going forward?
We do need a new facility. One, it's constitutional that the state hospital is going to be there. And do you need as many beds as necessarily is drafted up? No, but only if you have more beds upstream. And so I think these conversations aren't an either-or conversation. That hospital is old. The quality of care, retention, dignity of the patients who are there are all really important, but also we are better off when we are creating more services upstream so we can help divert people before they ever have to go there.
Kirstie, what are you most passionate about when it comes to mental health services and providing more needs? What do you think is our heavy lift right now in North Dakota?
Well, obviously we're a rural state, so lack of services I think is the biggest problem. And to Kelly's point, I think we need services across the board, upstream and downstream. In communities, I think people are better served if they're helped close to home. So we need more services and we need to think outside of the box. We have some unique challenges with the rural state that we have and lack of services in small communities.
That's great. Well, looking forward to seeing what you do and the causes you champion. How are the kids, by the way, adjusting to the life in the governor's mansion?
They are adjusting. They're really close to their high school, so they like the short commute.
That's cool. It's fun.
They each got their own bedroom and their own bathroom. They're happy.
Wow, yeah. There's an upgrade, right?
Yeah, turns out when you're 14 and you don't have to share a bathroom with your sister, that's an upgrade.
There
so they're
go.
Pretty excited about it.
That's awesome. Just last on the legislative session, how do you think it's going? Obviously, a lot of property tax bills out, probably more than you'd like at this point. But are you confident that whatever's going to come out of the grinder is going to be what you want?
Yeah, I think we'll get somewhere really significant and substantial. I'm glad that the conversation hasn't got stuck in the mud. You've seen things. Big issues are, I don't think it's going to be the first bill to my desk. That was aspirational when I said it, but the conversation is moving forward and it's continuing to capture attention. And I think that's really important because it's still capturing attention with your listeners and your callers. And it is the one thing that I think people really, really are demanding out of this session.
They really are. Obviously, the local subdivisions continue to push back on the caps. There was some flexibility put in related to votes and long-term. You comfortable with any of that?
No. I think that needs a little more work. I don't think a 10-year waiver for a cap, I think, essentially gets you into the same position we're in now that we don't actually have a true cap. So I think that needs to be tightened up. But, I mean, yeah, we want to make sure locals can make decisions based on local problems and local emergencies. What we don't want to do is pretend like we have something that doesn't really exist, because we've tried that stuff before and it doesn't work.
I'd like to find the person that would vote for a 10-year waiver on a cap on spending.
Well, I don't. Yeah, but it's not just that. It's how the presumption. If the municipality can put it on the ballot, and then how do you get it back off the ballot if later at some point in time you get to that point? And what I worry about is that anybody that does that, we end up in the same position we're in now. There's a buy-down without reform, and I need the reform. I think North Dakotans are demanding both the relief and reform, and I think that's what we need to get through the session.
Sounds great. Well, it's good to have you here. This means a lot. This event, obviously, is a big deal all across North Dakota, so thanks for being part of it.
Thanks for having us here. This is a great celebration, and we're proud to be here.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming, Kelly.
Yeah, what a truly great North Dakota thing.
Yeah, it sure is. Giving Hearts Day, the Governor and First Lady of North Dakota, thanks for the time.